If I told you that success is waiting for you in 12 months from now, but you have to give up everything right now, you have to give it all up and work your ass off for the next 12 months to get to there, would you do it? And it was guaranteed, would you do it? And many people wouldn't do it. They don't want to give up the comfort.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, I'm extremely excited to announce our guest for the show, Agostino Pintus. Agostino, thank you so much for being here.
I'm super jazzed up for being here. Thanks for inviting me. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I love so many aspects of your story and really excited to share your journey and just everything that you've accomplished in a short period of time in real estate. So why don't you take us back to, I mean, Agostino has a long career in tech, but let's go back to before that. You know, I mean, what was it like growing up? I know you also come from an immigrant family like I do. Tell me how you started out with your career and how your family influenced that.
Sure. Well, you know, I grew up in a small town in Canada called Windsor, right across from Detroit. I always gravitated from a very young age, from the first time I saw a computer, I gravitated to tech, right? Tech was my thing. As soon as I laid eyes on a Commodore PET, which most of your listeners have no idea what that is.
Once I was in grade five
when I saw one, right? It was like the first computer rolled into a classroom. Like that was the first time there were computers in the classroom, right? And as soon as I laid eyes on that thing, I'm like, I need to get in front of that thing. I need to learn everything I could. So I dedicated my life to technology. And early on, I wanted to have my own computer company, have my own tech company. I already decided this from when I was like 10.
That's amazing.
Years old. I knew I had to do something like that. I had to be involved with tech.
How did you know you needed to be a CEO or have your own company at such a young age? Like, how did you even know that was a thing?
You know, the thing is, though, I didn't. All I knew is that I wanted to create games. I wanted to write games. That's all I knew. I wanted to write games and sell them. So it wasn't like I wasn't familiar with the titles or corporate America or anything else like that. In that vein, because in grade school, like most of the education system, they don't prepare people to build entrepreneur success. They build, which really is, right? They build, they train soldiers, they train good workers. That's what they're looking for. They want obedient workers to be working, like to prepare them for corporate America. That's all they want. They don't want entrepreneurs. They want you to keep your head down, shut your face, and just produce stuff, right? It's, you know, it's from the industrial age. That's really what it is, right?
For sure.
But I knew that I wanted to have my own thing. That much I did know. Mm-hmm. And I started writing computer games and stuff like that with what little basic technology that I knew, right? And my parents, though, they were of the mindset that is a high risk proposition to go do something on your own. That's ridiculous. No. You need to go work for a company. That's the safe thing to do, right? Because you get a paycheck, right? I mean, isn't a paycheck safe, right? I mean, why wouldn't it be?
Yeah. My parents felt the same way. And so what industry did your folks work in?
And that's the thing. They were laborers from Italy, right? So like they came from the generation that they were born and raised on farms. They would, you know, raise cattle. They would till the land. They would do stuff like that. So here in the States, or in Canada rather, my dad did construction. My mother was a seamstress, you know, and my mother worked in a factory too. My father worked for an entrepreneur, but he was the low man on the totem pole that would create all the stuff that the owner got to sell, right? What's funny though, interesting lesson there is that I remember being a teenager and this entrepreneur ended up selling the company to some other company, right? And sold everything. And my dad was out of a job in his 40s. And this guy moved to Italy. Right. So he made all the money off my dad's sweat and, you know, and he's free and clear. Mm-hmm. My dad ended up having to find another job in his 40s in construction. it was a tough thing to do to raise a family back then, you know. Mm-hmm. But there's a valuable lesson in there.
Yeah, very tough.
To the whole tech thing. So I stayed with the whole tech thing. And I ended up doing rises to the ranks in technology. So, of course, went to school, did my undergrad in engineering. I did two master's degrees. I did all that.
Wait, really quick. I just want to circle back to an important point, which was, you know, before the show, you were saying that like your parents were somehow successful in conditioning sort of the entrepreneur out of you. You know, obviously they had, you know, how did they do that, basically? I mean, and nothing against them, you know, my parents would have done and probably did do the exact same thing. And so do so many parents, and they love us, and that's just what they know to do. So what exactly were those moments like?
Sure. I mean, it's going to be the same story that I'm sure that many of your listeners have heard from their spouse, from their parents, from their friends, is that to do something on your own, oh my God, it's super high risk. What about your family? What about that paycheck at the end of the week? You know, and you're not going to get any of that. What about healthcare? Oh my God, healthcare. Oh, you can't live without healthcare. And all that stuff was basically, they use scare tactics, the same way the media uses scare tactics today to cajole people to doing things they don't really want to do, right? And I mean, they were trying to do it with the best intentions. You know, I don't hate my parents or any of that stuff. Not at all. It's more like this is the prescription that we've been given as a society now. Because many people forget that this country that we're in, the United States of America, was started, really built on entrepreneurship, right? The entrepreneurs are what built this country originally. Now it's not the case. Now it's all done with corporate. Again, I don't hate corporate.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's fine. But, you know, for someone who's a young, impressionable youth that wanted to do something on my own and being conditioned not to do it, it took a while to recover from that. I mean, I was scared. I mean, so when I told you we're in the green room, we're talking, I've been fired from like, I don't know, 13, 14 jobs. I honestly have no idea. I lost count. I stopped at like 13. I couldn't think of any more. But I remember.
Yeah, that's amazing.
But, you know, but here's the thing. I remember when I was 25 or 26. I was married at the time. And I remember when I got fired from yet another job, right? And I felt worthless because the job, I allowed the job to define who I was. And that was a mistake. I see it now of what a mistake it was. When you're going through it, it's kind of like, oh my God, I'm a loser. I got fired. It's terrible. Oh my God, what's wrong with me? It's like, it's all on me. And I mean, you know, just like I said before too, if you don't guide your career, go work for some crappy company. And, you know, God forbid if you say something bad about that company, if you're trying to find another job, even though they were crappy companies out there, there's a lot. Take it from a guy who's been fired from a lot of jobs, a lot of bad companies out there. Wasn't always my fault. There were times it was my fault, though, I will admit.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and when I asked you, you know, you said, I was like, why have you been fired from 13 jobs? Like, what was your answer?
What was my answer? I'm just not a good employee. I mean, that's as simple as that. I mean, I was born to be an entrepreneur right from the beginning. You know, some people aren't.
Yes, exactly.
But, you know, some people, they go to entrepreneurship class and they learn how to be an entrepreneur. And that's okay. You laugh. But there's people that do it, you know. But I knew that I was an entrepreneur my entire life. My entire life I've been an entrepreneur and I wanted to have my own thing. But I was always very, very scared because being an entrepreneur, especially when you're starting out, especially to do what I did, because I built a whole career in technology management. I mean, I was running large enterprise IT, multi-million dollar budgets, large team, foreign domestic teams, all kinds of stuff like that. To go from doing that to just switching it off and doing real estate. That's totally unrelated fields. That takes some guts to do it, a lot of guts. It was a little scary, but at the same time too, I realized that the last time I got fired, the very last time I got fired for doing a great job for this company screwed me over yet again, right? I got screwed over by a lot of companies. I'm like, I asked myself that question, how many more times am I gonna put the fate of my career, my life, and the people that depend on me, how many more times can I hand that over to some people that don't give a care about me or them? Like, that's what you're doing when you're working for a company that doesn't really care about you, right? And I decided that I'm not doing it anymore. I am exiting this game, unplugging from the matrix, and I'm going to do something else, you know? And real estate was it, you know, and it took sacrifice to do it. And we talked a little bit about that sacrifice. Yeah, I mean, I had the big house, 3-car garage, I had the Mercedes, the Corvette convertible, the Hummers, I had all that stuff. sold it all. All of it was gone. You know, I went without for a long period of time. Well, long, I guess, you know, a couple of years, I guess. That's not really that long, I suppose. But now we've carefully built a great infrastructure with some super partners that I have today. And now we have, 1,300 units. We do construction now. We do development. I bought the Rockefeller Building in downtown Cleveland. It's going to be a $135 million project, you know, that I put together on this deal, with, you know, of course, with partners, too. We're still acquiring assets. We're getting into triple net business as well. All this stuff. I mean, it wasn't easy. I'm not going to say it was easy. I'm not going to say buy my book and I'm going to show you how in four easy steps. No, it was not easy. It was tough. Mm-hmm. It was tough. And I think that's the chasm that many people are not willing to take, you know, is that imagine if I told you, and I mean, you being the listener, if I told you that success is waiting for you in 12 months from now, but you have to give up everything right now, you have to give it all up and work your ass off for the next 12 months to get to there, would you do it? And it was guaranteed, would you do it? And many people wouldn't do it. They don't want to give up the comfort.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I think that's such an important point that, and it, you know, it's something that I harp on for sure, is that you have to feel so connected to your why and the vision of what you're moving towards that you are willing to make those sacrifices, especially early on, that, you know, where you've built this whole life because that's what society's told you to do. And now you're living comfortably and you have, you know, a house, cars, payments, et cetera, and a certain lifestyle. And like sometimes, I mean, I think often like you have to really scale it back just like you did. I mean, so where did you, let's talk a little bit about how you decided to go into real estate. You know, after that last time you got fired, why'd you turn to real estate?
You know, I think I mentioned those 10 dark years that I went through. So after I got fired from that publicly traded company, I was a young CIO, got fired for no reason. I still don't completely understand why. Not that I really think about it. I was still in my 30s when that happened. I was kind of scrambling. I was in free fall. You know, I let my whole career go into free fall. And for those 10 years, I stopped buying. I was doing single families. That's how I started in this business, single families, small multifamily. But I stopped, you know, I stopped doing it. And I was just coasting from job to job to job, trying to find anything, anybody that would pay me to do technology management. I would take on consulting roles. I would take on permanent roles. It was terrible. There was no why. Without a clear why, like you just said a second ago, with that clear why, it's very hard to know what you're going to do with your life, right? So, and I didn't have it. You know, I did not have it. So it was not until that last time I told you that I was working at this company, like fast forward, like, you know, 10, 12 years. And here I am sitting in this conference room with the COO who just started with a company, like literally like 4 days prior, firing me, right? And I'm like, you know, What am I going to do now? Am I going to do this again? No, I'm going to do something else. What am I going to do? Here's the thing. I did have real estate, small portfolio left from the first time that I was doing the single family stuff. And despite all the problems, despite all the issues, I had the IRS after me. I had all kinds of bad stuff that happened to me. And I fixed it all up. No matter what, that check kept on coming in. No matter what, through 2008, because the way that I structured my deals, I was very careful about how I put my deals together. I didn't do no interest-only payments on single families back then. I was like fixed mortgages, low interest rate, long-term. I knew that if the payment is this, the rent is this, I'm going to get this much. I already knew that. That's how I defined it. Very, very low-risk type of deals. And I structured it that way on purpose. Despite all the issues, it kept performing. And I'm like, you know, I'm just going to do real estate. That was the whole thought process. I wish I could say it was Robert Kiyosaki's book. I wish I could say it was some other, I had a discussion, I had some epiphany. No, it was logic. I mean, fortunately, you know, I got into it to begin with because I wasn't even thinking about real estate until a friend of mine told me about it. But it was like, that was the epiphany. Then it's like, okay, well, what exactly am I going to do in real estate? So it's like, now I knew I was going to do real estate, but I didn't know what I was going to do in real estate. Because in real estate, as you know, a lot of asset classes, a lot of different things you can do. And it wasn't until I had a conversation with this real estate attorney. So there's a challenge that I heard about, and I forget where I heard about this challenge, and I can challenge the audience right now to do this, is that you go on LinkedIn and you send a message to like three people every day that could change your life. You send a message to them and invite them for a coffee, invite them to maybe guest on a blog post or a podcast if you have one or whatever. But it's three people that you look up to, they're big shots and they can change your life. Those are the three. Every single day you do that for a month and you'll see a lot of rejection. But if you just get one, that one person will change your life. And that's what I did. I did this. I was doing this before. And that one person changed the whole course of my life. It actually worked. Mm-hmm. Here I am. I'm in Virginia after getting fired from this job. I was living in one of my houses and I'm sitting there talking to him. He happened to be a real estate attorney. I was looking outside my car window and I see this 30 unit apartment building. And I'm like, you know, who owns buildings? Like, and I'm like, who owns them? Like, does a bank own them? Like, who owns them? He's like, no, people own them. I go, what people? Who? What do you mean? And he explains syndication to me and how you put deals together, the GP, the LP, the how to raise money, the whole nine yards. And I'm like, well, I could do that. I mean, I used to do that in corporate all the time. You know, I'd make my pitch, raise money, like whatever money I need to do whatever projects needed to get done. I mean, that's what I did, you know, so I can do this. And so I started, that's what I'm going to do. And I committed 100% to doing that business. So I got to studying it all on my own. Back then, there were no gurus on Facebook that were teaching this stuff. You know, that just didn't exist. I mean, Facebook existed, but not like, like now there's gurus all over the place selling all kinds of programs with this stuff. But I had to like figure it out on my own.
Yeah.
And, but that's what it was, you know, it's,
I mean, you just dropped so many bombs right there. You know, like the fact that I'm not sure who was it who told you to reach out to three people on LinkedIn every day.
I was watching a video on LinkedIn. Someone put this challenge out there. Like I wasn't even looking for it. It just, someone put this challenge out there. So I just went ahead and did it, you know?
Yeah. And that's amazing. And just knowing that you're going to get a lot of rejection and then just that one person's could change your life, you know, and then talking to that person and then deciding in that moment that you're going to do this business, like that deciding moment is such a powerful moment. And there was a lot leading up to that, you know, like your whole life was leading up to it. But if you never get to that moment where you're like deciding, I'm going to do this, then you'll never do it. Right. And so such important stuff. So sorry, continue with your story.
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-C-A-P.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
No, but to reflect back on that, though, that decision point is, that's the, oftentimes the hardest part because it requires that person to basically change who they are, or at least commit to changing who they are, because the guy I am today is not the same guy that started in this business. Like back then I was a corporate guy, right? I'm not saying that I'm like, I certainly look the same. I talk the same. Like I'm the same guy. Of course I'm the same guy. But what I mean though is that I committed to building the mindset, to building the habits necessary to build success that I was not even remotely close to doing previous to this, right?
Yeah.
I would get up, you know, 7 a.m., you know, go to take a shower, throw on your clothes, go roll into work, do the same thing you say every day. Good morning, blah, blah, blah. You know, you dread Mondays and you pray for Fridays. That's what I was living. Mm-hmm. That was life. And it's life like that for millions of people around the United States, right? The people that say, oh, I love my job. Yeah, I'm sure you love dragging your ass into a company that, you know, a bunch of people that don't appreciate you. Yeah, I'm sure that's true. I would rather be sipping a Mai Tai in Miami or something, but whatever. Anyway.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure there are some, but it's few and far between, right? That people really love their job.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, though, is that now to experience true freedom the way I do today is, I mean, hey, I'm not going to say it's all sunshine and rainbows.
Totally.
But there's never, ever, ever, ever been a day, no matter how bad it gets, that I say, oh my God, I wish I was working in corporate. Oh, Oh, I would give all this up just to get that paycheck. You know, a paycheck is a payment on your giving up your dreams. That's all it is. They pay you just enough just to keep you quiet and keep you still. That's what it's for, right?
Totally. For sure. And I mean, I think it is important to get past that hurdle. Like, I mean, I did at one point, as I mentioned before the show, like at one point I did go back to work because I did just want a paycheck again. Like I was just tired and I needed to get like W-2 so I could, et cetera, buy real estate, take a home equity line of credit out. And, you know, you have to get past that hurdle where you're like not willing to give up your freedom for a paycheck.
Yeah. And it's hard, you know, but the way that I did it was, again, I learned all this on my own. Like I wish someone had told me all this, mm-hmm. it would have saved some time, but I committed to writing down my goals. I know it sounds like foo-foo nonsense, right? Because I'm sure everybody has heard all this already in other places.
No one ever told you to write down your goals.
No one has ever told me.
Okay, awesome. You figured it out on your own.
And what class did someone say to you, okay, if you had unlimited amounts of money, unlimited amounts of time, and you can be anywhere on this planet, write down your goals, write down 25 things of what your life would look like. When has that ever, that discussion ever taken place?
Not in school, that's for sure. But I mean, now there's like a lot of different, you know, the self-help people. It's,
Yeah, there's plenty of people that do it. Yeah. But back then there wasn't such thing, you know? So I didn't know any of this stuff. So I picked that up somewhere and I started doing that. And it's like, okay, if I had unlimited resources, what would my life look like? And I started designing my life, mm-hmm. you know? And I said, like, I wrote this down. Oh God, it's so funny because I'll find old notebooks of when I wrote all this down. It's like, I'm going to have 100 units. And what's funny is that we were just talking about this before, just before the show. It's like, I just bought 212 units like last week. You know, it's like, I just bought them and I'm already moving on to the next deal. You know, it's like, I'm looking to build 100 units now on the side while I got this other stuff going. That's how funny it is, right? But back then, like I just said, okay, I'm going to have 100 units. I'm going to provide investors a 12% return and they're going to be very happy. I'm going to have a home in South America. I'm writing all these things down as if it's already happening. And without that important, crucial step of defining what you want and to see in your life, it'll never happen. It'll never, ever, ever happen. Right? People just go from day to day to day and they think that they have a vision. They think they have a dream. But until it's defined, it's not. It's nothing. That's the thing that sucks. And I mean, just like you said a second ago, no one really told us this stuff. I mean, now they do. You hear about it more often, you know, than we used to, like than say 15 years ago. No.
Yeah, but not in school still. It doesn't seem like it's taught in school still.
No. Even when I took entrepreneur class, I did take an entrepreneur class. We were talking about that too. Yeah. It was hilarious. I took an entrepreneur class in university and they never told me any of that stuff. I don't remember any of that, you know, but yeah, it's crazy.
Right. Yeah. They're just like, this is the chapters in a business plan. Now go make a business plan, exactly. Et cetera. Okay. So what else did you have to sacrifice? You know, we know it was hard. We know you sold your house and your cars. Did you have to get anyone to agree to this or was it just you that you were doing it for?
So, you know, I will say this. At the time, like this friend said that I have to go like raise money, right? To learn how to raise money, right? So, and I knew like, you know, how to pitch and how to talk to people. I'm very confident. I know how to do that. But I never technically raised money before, especially raised money for multifamily, of which I didn't even own. Right. I didn't own any of that stuff. I had a bunch of single family stuff left that was trying to sell off as much as I could. And like of that entire portfolio of one house left in Virginia that I'm looking to sell to the tenant that lives there right now. So like it's still to this very day, right? It was just kind of funny. But, you know, what's funny is that I would say that once I had that little nest egg of cash, I bought a multifamily deal in Akron, right? It's a little 11 unit deal, right? And I happened to stumble on it because it was listed in the wrong place. That's the only reason, right? It was 11 units and I stole this deal. I paid like, I don't know, $12,000-$13,000 a door or something.
Wow.
Right? Ridiculous, right?
That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, so what happened was it was listed on the MLS, not on like, it wasn't even listed with a commercial broker. I just happened to be on the MLS. I see this thing, I'm like, what's this? What's going on? Is this right? You know, so I call like the agent, it was a real estate agent. She says, oh yeah, it's 11 units, you know, so go look at it. The guy started building a 12th unit and I'm like, okay, I'll do this deal. I just had barely enough money to get for the down payment and I had to get like a hard money loan because my credit was shot at the time. Right now, everything's cleaned up. But when you go through a divorce, it really wrecks with your credit, right? So that's all fixed now.
Yes, totally.
But back then, it did anything I took to get to that first deal, because in my mind, I felt that if I'm going to go out there and pitch people, I have to at least have one deal of my own. That's just me. I mean, some people don't do that, and it's okay if they don't, you know, but I felt that, like, if I'm going to do a deal, and remember, I moved to Ohio. I did not know a soul here. So here I'm a new guy in town. I'm going to try to convince people to sell, that I'm going to, like, you know, I'm going to do, need to invest money with me because I'm going to go buy real estate. Like, what? What are you talking about? I have to at least own something. So that's what I did, you know, and I found the deal. Why not do it? You know, and we sold, I just sold that deal recently for like $35 a door. Ridiculous.
That's awesome. And that brings up another thing that you did was you moved to Ohio for real estate. Can you tell me about that decision and why you did it?
So when I was living in Virginia at the time, well, I moved to Virginia to go live in a house because I had nowhere else to go, right? And I was like, okay, I told my girlfriend, who's now my wife, I told her, I said, you know what? She'd only known me for like a month or something. I said, I'm going to work for a company one last time. I'm going to consult. I will never work for anybody ever again. I made a promise that I'll never do this. This is the last time, right? Last time. I'm not doing this ever again. And I ended up researching the different markets. I found that at the time, Cleveland was still hadn't fully recovered from 2008, you know? Still, the market was somewhat depressed. The rents were very, very low. And I'm like, you know what? That's where we need to go. I packed everything I owned in the car, like everything we owned in the car, and drove here because I wanted to buy low.
And that's because you wanted to buy low.
I had faith in the market.
And you had faith in the market.
Because here's the one thing I also knew at the time, which proved to be right, is that here, so this used to be oil and gas, believe it or not. Cleveland used to be oil and gas. Used to be like, Rockefeller was, many people don't know this, but Rockefeller, oil and gas guy, he started his business here in Cleveland, Ohio, right? Most people don't know that. Mm-hmm. And they shifted to healthcare. So I knew that there's healthcare, there's Goodyear's based out of Akron, Smucker's Jam is based out of here. There's all these other healthcare systems here, you know, so it wasn't just reliant on manufacturing and really volatile industries, right? So I knew that. And I'm like, okay, I can make this work. I mean, I think that I was looking at some of the different asset classes. I didn't quite understand real estate because my underwriting was still very weak at the time. I was still practicing how to underwrite deals properly, but I knew that there were deals to be had, right? I knew that. And nobody was watching this market. Everybody was focused on Texas, North Carolina, Kentucky, or Tennessee rather. All these other markets, which are still very super hot today. But back then, nobody was talking about Cleveland. Now everybody's talking about Cleveland, right? And then, so I decided, okay, you know what? I'm going to come here. Mm-hmm. And I picked up a consulting gig and started doing that while trying to buy assets, as many as I can. After work, I would get in my car, drive areas, get to know the area, get to know the markets, set up meetings with brokers, talk to them. I mean, before I talked to them, I would get educated on who they are, know the terminology. I mean, it wasn't like I just cold called people and they just meet with me. It was way harder for me. You know, it always is for people starting out, always is. No introductions, no nothing, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it was tough, but I chose this market. I'm still active in this market. I still only buy in this market. I still only buy and build here. I am looking at other markets, but I know this market.
Yeah. And so that worked for you. It worked to go to a place where people hadn't yet recovered. What year was that when you moved to Cleveland?
Oh, wow. So that would have
been— What year was that?
I don't know, 3.5, 4 years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. So it really took a long time to recover. That's pretty impressive. I mean, and also just, you know, just give the listeners an idea of what you've accomplished since that you moved to Cleveland, which is only like 4 years ago or so.
Sure. So, yeah, I mean, at the time, it was tough. You know, it was really tough because I was consulting, like didn't have the house and you know, the backyard and all that stuff. I was, you know, basically living in hotels and that kind of thing until I finally got an apartment. But, you know, started with one deal, like one that little 11 unit that turned into a 12 unit. And then from there, we ended up scaling it to now I'm going to be closing on another deal coming up here next week. It's going to be 1,300 units of multifamily, all multifamily communities, right? So we're also doing that. So we're doing development as well. So we're doing a ground up development right now near Cleveland Clinic. And then, of course, the Rockefeller building, which I mentioned before, it's going to be a $135 million deal. That's going to be a phenomenal deal. This is actually the office that John D. Rockefeller used to live in, or work in rather. He used to work here. So we're doing a multifamily conversion. We're going to convert this asset to multifamily, from office to multifamily. It's going to be phenomenal. It's a class A asset. It's going to be great. And then what else are we doing? We're going to start doing some more single family stuff, getting back into the whole seller finance type of model, because I do see that there's a shift coming in terms of the, you know, I'm not going to say it's as bad as 2008, but there's going to be a lot of people are going to need homes, and we're going to be positioned in a way to help those people get into homes by offering seller financing and bank alternative financing, right? So working on that as well. And of course, single tenant triple net, which is a great business to be in, to offer investors that steady monthly return, you know, that many investors look for. So, but you know, the nuts and bolts of it, 1300 units, God, it's going to be a lot of development projects already. It's going to be phenomenal. Phenomenal year so far. It's been great, you know, and I'm having fun doing it. Having a lot of fun doing it.
For sure. Well, Augustino, that's just an amazing accomplishments that you've made in the last 4 years in real estate. Obviously, you had done some before, but I'm just really so pleased to hear. I mean, we could continue talking about all your projects going forward for a lot longer, but thank you so much for coming on the show. Please give the listeners a way to, you know, learn more about you, get a hold of you, anything else you'd like to share.
Sure. So bulletproofcashflow.com is a great way to get a hold of me there. Also, we have a podcast. Go ahead, check that one out as well. Then of course, we do live events online as well. So if you have any questions, whatever, I'm always here to help people out. I'd like to help people get into this business and really help them. I love seeing people succeed at this, you know. So I really do believe to the core of my being that real estate is the way to help people achieve freedom. There's no other business out there that allows people to do it as easily as real estate does, you know. So that's just what I think anyway. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, totally. Well, obviously I'm in agreement with that. And that's why I'm here. And so I hope you all have a chance to check out Augustino's podcast and website and see what he's up to, because he's up to some amazing things. Thank you so much for coming on. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.